First Fruits, an Apostolic Perspective. Chapter 7, Trust and Obey. Psalm 112 paints a portrait of an extremely generous man whose giving, especially to the poor, expresses and establishes his inward righteousness. This man fears the Lord, that is, has a deep reverence for God. His liberal giving of finances is further explained as being evidence of the fact that he trusts the Lord and hence does not fear bad news of any kind. The trusting man is a generously giving man. He will not fear evil tidings. His heart is steadfast, trusting in the Lord. Psalm 112, verse 7. Without a solid trust in God, we will not excel in financial giving of any kind, whether first fruits, tithes, or diverse range of offerings to the degrees that we should. Giving is about who we trust. Every time we give, we demonstrate where and in whom our trust lies. Trust is an essential component of faith in God. Biblically, what does trust in God mean? In the Hebrew, the word trust stems from two primary words. The first is aman, meaning simply to believe. The other is bata, meaning to rely on, depend on, with the sense of being completely confident and feeling utterly safe. The Greek word for trust is pisteo, meaning to believe, to be convinced of something. In a more specific way, to have faith in God. To trust in God is to simply believe Him, rely and depend on Him with unswerving faith, and have the accompanying sense of deep-rooted confidence and complete safety or security in Him. How do we express trust in the Lord? By obeying the principles of His Word. He who gives attention to the Word will find good, and blessed is he who trusts in the Lord. Proverbs 16, verse 20. Trust or faith in God is a belief in, dependence on, and confidence in God that is not just without solid foundation, but vested fully in principles or promises of God in His Word. You cannot say that you trust God without fully obeying His Word. Obeying His Word is how you trust Him. Hezekiah's financial reformation is referenced in this writing. He called the nation back to observing first fruits, tithes, and offerings. The basis of his authoritative call was that he trusted God. He trusted in the Lord God of Israel, so that after him, none like him among the kings of Judah, nor any that were before him. For he cleaved to the Lord and departed not from following him, but he kept his commandments. 2 Kings chapter 18, verse 5 and 6. Hezekiah did the following. He trusted in God. The quality of his trust in God distinguished him from all other kings before and after him. He cleaved to the Lord. He never departed from following God. He kept the commandment or the word of God. Your claim to trust God will be evidenced and proven by how fervently you cleave to the principles of God's word. You cannot say on the one hand, I trust God, and yet on the other hand, you say, I will disregard God's will on various or specific matters. Show me how much you trust God by how you love God's word and obey it. This is how you cleave to the Lord and do not depart from Him. First fruits demonstrates trust in God. One of the main references to honoring God with first fruits is found in Proverbs chapter 3, in which this practice is prefaced by a command to first trust in God with all your heart. My son, do not forget my teaching, but let your heart keep my commandments. For length of days and years of life and peace they will add to you. Do not let kindness and truth leave you. Bind them around your neck. Write them on the tablet of your heart, so you will find favor and good repute in the sight of God and man. Trust in the Lord with all your heart, and do not lean on your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge Him, and He will make your paths straight. Do not be wise in your own eyes. Fear the Lord and turn away from evil. It will be healing to your body and refreshment to your bones. Honor the Lord from your wealth and from the first of your produce, so your barns will be filled with plenty and your vats will overflow with new wine. Proverbs chapter 3, verse 1 to 10. Take the time to read Proverbs chapter 3, verse 1 to 10 slowly and meditatively. If you cannot fulfill Proverbs chapter 3, verse 1, you cannot do Proverbs chapter 3, verse 5, and thus you fail to access the blessing of Proverbs chapter 3, verse 6. You will therefore not be able to practice Proverbs chapter 3, verse 9, and consequently never experience Proverbs chapter 3, verse 10. It all starts with Proverbs chapter 3, verse 1. Get this right, and the rest will follow automatically. Verse 1 references, my son, in this whole passage, God addresses you as His son. In other words, this is your father talking to you. He is your papa, your daddy, and He is simply asking you to, verse 1, not forget His word and principles, but obey them. Verse 5, trust Him with all your heart. And verse 6, in all your ways. Verse 9, honor Him financially in and with all your finances, including first fruits. And God will, in verse 10, burst your barns and overflow your vats. Verse 5 instructs us to trust in the Lord with our whole heart. This cannot be done without fulfilling the principles located in verses 1 to 4, which stress keeping the word or the commandment of God. First fruits provide tacit evidence as to where our trust is. When we give first fruits, we are boldly declaring that we trust in God for our total welfare and well-being. Our trust is not in our jobs or people, but in God, our source of all blessing. Trust God and not your own understanding. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and do not lean on your own understanding. Proverbs chapter 3 and verse 5. Proverbs 3 verse 5 to 6 teaches that we cannot simultaneously trust God and lean on our own understanding. One of the two must give way to the other. God desires that we trust Him totally and completely. God does not want to compete with human intellect or reasoning. He desires that we trust Him and Him only, and that our trust is wholehearted. Trust demands that we deliberately place our reliance and dependence on God in a particular matter and not place great store by our own strength to accomplish a desired outcome. The issue of trust is about on whom or on what you are leaning or depending upon. Our own understanding, specifically the mind of the unrenewed area of our human intellect and understanding, is no reliable foundation for us to place our trust in. We are not called upon to abandon our understanding, but we are warned not to lean upon it. Do not trust in riches. Read through the following scriptures, which warn us not to trust in earthly riches or wealth. He who trusts in his riches will fall, but the righteous will flourish like the green leaf. Proverbs chapter 11, verse 28. If riches increase, do not set your heart upon them. Psalm 62, verse 10b. And the one on whom seed was sown among the thorns is the man who hears the word, and the worry of the world and the deceitfulness of wealth choke the word, and it becomes unfruitful. Matthew chapter 13, verse 22. But godliness actually is a means of great gain when accompanied by contentment. For we have brought nothing into the world, so we cannot take anything out of it either. If we have food and covering, with these we shall be content. But those who want to get rich fall into temptation and a snare, and many foolish and harmful desires which plunge men into ruin and destruction. For the love of money is a root of all sorts of evil, and some, by longing for it, have wandered away from the faith and pierced themselves with many griefs. 1 Timothy chapter 6 from verse 6 to 10. Longing for is framed as coveted after in the King James Version, verse 10. The Greek word for longing for is orego, which means to stretch oneself out in order to touch or to grasp something, to reach out after or desire something, to covet, to long after, desire, try to gain, be ambitious, to indulge in, to love. The rich in this world are specifically instructed not to trust in their wealth, but in God, by being generous in giving and doing good, thereby storing up incorruptible treasures in heaven. Instruct those who are rich in this present world not to be conceited or to fix their hope on the uncertainty of riches, but on God, who richly supplies us with all things to enjoy. instruct them to do good and to be rich in good works, to be generous, ready to share, storing up for themselves the treasure of a good foundation for the future, so that they may take hold of that which is life indeed. 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 17 to 19, NASB. Teach those who are rich in this world not to be proud and not to trust in their money, which is so unreliable. Their trust should be in God, who richly gives us all we need for our enjoyment. Tell them to use their money to do good. They should be rich in good works and generous to those in need, always being ready to share with others. By doing this, they will be storing up their treasure as a good foundation for the future, so that they may experience the true life. 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 17 to 19, NLT. The rich are instructed to guard against pride and conceit. The rich are encouraged not to fix their hope or place their trust in money or riches, but in God, the source of all riches. They are to do this by using their wealth to do good works and to share generously with the needy, and to do all this with a ready or a willing mind. Now, whilst these commands apply to the rich, they do not exclude the not so rich or the poor. The point being made here is that those who are rich in good works and with generosity, helping the needy, are testifying to their rich state. I will challenge you to evidence your truly rich state by doing what is commanded here, no matter what your economic position is. Riches are to be used to honor God and His servants financially, finance the growth of the kingdom of God, the good of humanity, relief to the poor, etc. Wealth, although potentially useful and critically essential for the advance of God's purposes in the earth, if wrongly administrated with selfish and self-indulgent mentalities, is the most unreliable of things. Its only true purpose and value, spiritually, would be to the degree to which it is used to facilitate the movement of God's purposes. It is possible to be rich in money in this life and not rich toward God. But God said to him, "You fool, this night your soul is required of you. And now who will own what you have prepared? So is the man who stores up treasures for himself and is not rich toward God." Luke chapter 12, verse 20 and 21. It is also very possible to be financially rich in this world and to be simultaneously spiritually rich. Jesus said that with God, this reality is possible. Matthew chapter 19, verse 24 to 26. All giving, including first fruits, testify that you are trusting God and not trusting in your money or wealth. When we give, we lay up treasures in heaven and declare our richness towards God. Many people love the book of Proverbs and use its many powerful principles of wisdom to condition their attitudes and behavior, and to enhance their personal success and effectiveness in this life. Proverbs chapter 3, verse 5 and chapter 3, verse 9 must also be installed into our lifestyles. Namely, trust God, verse 5, and honor Him with your wealth and substance, and the first fruits of your increase, verse 9. The twin issues of trust and honor are key facets of first fruits. We express trust, faith in God, and honor Him by honoring those whom He has positioned as spiritual leaders over us. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 12 and 13. Refer to chapters 10 and 11 for more on the issue of honor. You may access more comprehensive treatment on the subject of trust from my website. Reflect. Point 1. Trust in God is not some nebulous thing. It must be evidenced outwardly in practice. Biblically, how do we trust God? Point 2. Proverbs chapter 3 from verse 1 to 10 is a key passage when considering the issue of first fruits. The command to honor God with first fruits is in verse 9 and the associated blessing in verse 10. What bearing does verse 1 to 8 have on verse 9 and 10? Point 3. Trusting in riches is dangerous and hence not advocated. How do we, no matter our levels of income, actively demonstrate non-reliance on wealth or money itself, but in Christ our source?